Welcome to this edition of Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability in the environment from around St. Albans and from further afield. And an especially big welcome to listeners to the new repeat of Environment Matters on Sunday morning. Now, coming up later, former Transport Minister Norman Baker talks about an inspirational electric bus company. But first, things are happening fast at Save Butterfly World, the charity set up when Butterfly World at Chiswell Green closed. Chairman John Horsfield joined me to explain. So first of all, John, I introduced you as John from Save Butterfly World, but that's all changing, isn't it?
Yes, it will be, although it's still at Save Butterfly World today. But from the 1st of June, we are activating our charity, called Butterfly World 2. You may remember, over 2 years ago, we had the charity registered in what I felt was a record 18 days, but we decided we wouldn't use it for the first year or two while we were building up and deciding where we were going.
Okay, so is there a particular reason why you decided to activate the Butterfly World 2 name now, or
I think there is. I mean, I think one or two people were getting a bit confused about Save Butterfly World, and some people, I hate to say, have come on board who've never really heard of Butterfly World. And whilst we're never going to give up on trying to get it reopened, we were sensible enough to realise the reality is it's very doubtful. It's being put into cold store, we understand, by the owners. John Bahini quoted that he would save it for his grandchildren to make some money out of.
Oh.
So I think, you know, if the opportunity came up, we'd go for it, but we're actually looking at new propositions.
Okay. Initially you might have been thinking about Save Butterfly World as in actually saving the Chiswell Green site, but now you're thinking actually that might go elsewhere.
Yes, I think we're working with another charity, a much larger charity called Bug Life, who've always wanted something in this locality,
yep,
to see whether we can find a site that would be suitable for us to work on and develop and raise money for, etc. Initially, obviously, we'd like to be in St Albans, but if we can't be, there are other possibilities in Hemel and around the area. So okay, we're looking at that.
So that's actually not too far afield. You're not sort of drifting too far away, hopefully, then.
No, we're not talking about moving up to Milton Keynes or anywhere like that. We
okay,
want to keep it in within a reasonable radius of the Butterfly World site that was so good for its location.
Yeah.
But the useful thing was, when we started, we actually said to all people who joined a Save Butterfly World, when we activate the charity, you will automatically become a member of the charity and transfer over. So that's what's actually happening. The Butterfly World membership will now be, from the 1st of June, will be members of Butterfly World 2.
Okay, well that's exciting news then, and that sort of gives a bit of a new direction for your charity as well.
I think so. They've asked me to step over and act as chair of the charity, and I said I'm becoming a trustee and will do that.
Yeah.
And my colleague, who's been chairing the charity and acting as a mentor for me, will continue as a trustee and also to do the mentoring, so that's helpful.
Yeah.
But as part of that looking for premises, we had a really interesting discovery. I had a chat with a lovely couple who own a project called Spring Meadow Farm. That is also a charity called Faith Works Trust. And I went to see them and we had a chat, and I went again a few months ago. And they have a wonderful farm with a wildlife meadow with 8 acres of wildflowers, which they sowed a few years ago. 135 different wildflowers are there. It's brimming with butterflies, although there's never been a butterfly count or very much emphasis put on that up to now. And whilst that is not going to be the solution to a long-term new, say, butterfly world, it is an interesting project in its own right. But we are working with them. And on Saturday, the 7th of July, we are going to do a recreation of Butterfly World as part of National Meadows Day.
And where is this beautiful meadow?
Yeah, the meadow is in Repley Hill, Berkhamsted.
Okay.
It's just literally on the Hartsbucks border. You go up the A41 and follow the sign for Chesham, and there'll be signs telling you where to go.
Yeah.
We've also put the project on Eventbrite. There's a £2 admission fee which can be paid on a day, but if we can get people to book through Eventbrite, it knows the kind of provision we're going to have, because you can never tell. I mean, Butterfly World was very popular. This is a real chance for people to come and experience the same sort of thing. There are lovely country walks. There are some wonderful Shire horses which will be around to give children carriage rides. We're hoping to get insects. We're hoping to create a lot of the things that we had on Butterfly World.
John, I noticed that in all the events that Save Butterfly World and what will become Butterfly World 2 have run, you always make such a big provision for children. Why is that?
Well, they're the future, aren't they?
Well, they
are. I mean, we really have. If we're going to save this planet, we've got to educate our children. I just caught something on the radio today. I think it was about obesity and food. And what the person was saying is, look, we're not going to try and educate the parents. Let's educate the children and they educate the parents.
Right.
And lots of children are pressing, Mum, can you take us to Butterfly World? Dad, can you take us to Butterfly World? And I'd probably get a phone call about once a week to say, are you open? What's happening? And so on. And it's nearly always because children have wanted to come. So we think it's important to have a big emphasis on children.
Yes,
we've got lots of lovely activities for them. And although this is very much in the early planning stage, I think it's going to be very exciting for the children that are able to come, and indeed their parents. There'll be plenty of things for parents to do as well.
Excellent. Well, it sounds fabulous. So that's on National Meadows Day. That's on the 7th of July. Presumably, if we look on your website, we'll be able to see the details and make the booking, as you say, during Eventbrite. And then now, as an ongoing thing, Butterfly World 2 is looking for a new home, and we look forward to hearing where that eventually is. John,
as always, Amanda, we will keep in touch with you and keep you posted.
Fantastic.
I might try, once I know a bit more in a two or three weeks' time about what's happening, maybe you'll find me a slot to come on and talk about.
Excellent.
It.
In the meantime, we'll get that in our diaries. John,
that's fantastic. I think it's going to be a really fun day.
Lovely. Thank you very much indeed for joining me to tell us about it. And I was talking there to John Horsfield of Butterfly World 2. Now, that's good news, isn't it, that Butterfly World are getting some assistance from the national charity Bug Life. And something else that Bug Life are involved in is the Great British Bee Cant that they help Friends of the Earth with. Now, that runs until the 30th of June. It's very easy to take part in using a free smartphone app. You can spot bees whenever and wherever you want. It's not like the British Bird Watch, where you have to sit down, you know, on a certain day or whatever. So just wherever, you know, if you're out in the garden, in the park, out for a walk or whatever. If you take a photo of the bee, then the app will do the identification for you. So if you don't know your hairy-footed flower bee from your ashy mining bee, that's absolutely no problem whatsoever at all. And it's also a nice, constructive outdoor thing that kids can do with their phone. Nice way of engaging with some wildlife outside. And information about that can be found on stalbansfoe.org. That's the St Albans Friends of the Earth website, or indeed on the National Friends of the Earth website as well. That's the Great British Bee Cant. And all of the information will go not only to Friends of the Earth and to Bug Life, but also will be put forward to the government so they can use it when creating their national pollinator strategy. Now, in the council's latest report into air quality in the district and how it might be improved, consultants suggested that buses were a significant source of pollution, which is a bit of a shame because obviously buses provide an essential service, particularly to people who are less advantaged. But how about if buses were electric? Is that even possible? So, former Transport Minister Norman Baker visited St Albans during Sustainable St Albans Week back in April. Not only is he one of the founders of the Big Lemon Bus Company, but he also volunteers, as I found out, on his local community radio station down in Lewis on the south coast. So he was delighted when I asked him to tell everyone listening to our community radio, Radio Verulam, about the bus company he's involved in. Now, I apologise for the enthusiastic babble of voices in the background. Norman had given everybody plenty to chat about. So let's hear from Norman Baker here.
So, Norman, can I just ask you, what is the Big Lemon Bus Company? What's special about the buses?
The Big Lemon Bus Company is a very innovative, community-based, environmentally sustainable bus company. By the end of this year, all the buses will be electric-powered. We call them solar-powered because the solar panels installed on the roof of the depot produce enough energy to power all the buses, so they are zero emissions.
So where do you get the electric buses from?
Well, the electric buses are... innovatively for us, because no one else has done this, they are old polluting diesel buses which have been converted. And converting a diesel bus to be able to become an electric bus is much cheaper and much more accessible for bus companies than buying a new electric bus off the shelf.
Now, you said that the buses they get their power from solar panels on top of the bus garage. Does that give enough to power all of your buses?
Well, I mean, it does. So far, a third of the roof has been covered, which powers more than enough for the initial two electric buses and powers the offices. Therefore, by definition, if we cover the whole roof, which we are doing, that will power probably about seven buses. But we will have to do something else as well to cover the 10 buses we've got. So that may be, for example, a wind turbine. It needn't just be solar power. I mean, renewable energy. We want to be able to say we are carbon...
And you're also producing all the power that you need. You're not just relying on the...
No, we're actually at the moment, we're producing excess power, so it's fed into the grid through feed-in tariffs, generates a profit, but also generates an excess of energy from renewable sources, more than we need at the moment.
Now, of course, one of the things that people are concerned about when it comes to electric cars is range, and presumably this is a problem with buses as well. Can the buses do the sort of normal routes they would do normally?
Well, theoretically, it's more of a problem for buses in the sense that the buses are heavier and therefore require more power. But in another way, it's less of a problem because we know exactly how many miles a bus will do each day. It goes on a particular timetable route. We know when it's going to leave the depot and come back again and how many miles it will have covered, so we can gauge when it's come back to depot. And the power that we get from batteries is now improving so that we can have a bus out all day and come back to depot without having to come back during the day. So it's great.
It sounds like a great scheme, but as you say, it still costs money to convert buses from diesel to electric.
Yes.
How have you funded all of this?
Well, I mean, first of all, even if you have no support, it will pay back itself because we don't have to buy fuel for all the time it's been converted. And also, of course, it then helps with future economic budgeting because we don't have to worry about the price of oil going up and down. So that's helped as well. But we've been able to take this forward thanks to community involvement, the Big Lemon's Community Bus Company. And what that's done is encourage people locally to invest in the bus company, not through shares but through bonds, and have therefore paid for the conversion of the first two electric buses. The latest effort has raised £400,000 in about 2 months from the community to take more buses into electric power. So the community is very, very supportive. They regard it as their bus company, really. They use it. And they help fund it, and it's a great model.
So, I mean, in St Albans, a report for the council recently found that diesel buses is a major contributor to air pollution in the city centre. Is the scheme that you've run, is that the kind of thing that could be rolled out elsewhere in the country?
Well, I mean, first of all, when I was Transport Minister, I introduced something called the Green Bus Fund, which enabled bus companies and councils to bid for money to produce new electric buses for their routes, and paid for the difference between a new traditional bus and a new electric bus. That was a difference covered by the Green Bus Fund. So really, a lot of bus companies, a lot of councils up and down the country have invested in that. And if St Albans hasn't, then we have to ask why St Albans hasn't. But, you know, I would say to the bus companies here, look at what we've done in Brighton, and you can see that for relatively cheap amounts of money, 120,000, you can convert your bus. And actually, the payback period then is sufficient to justify that.
Norman Baker, thank you very much indeed.
You're welcome.
And I was talking there at the end of a meeting during Sustainable St Albans Week to former Transport Minister Norman Baker. So anybody from a bus company listening, it'd be great to see some electric buses around St Albans, wouldn't it? Really inspiring. OK, so a few events coming up you might be interested in. St Albans Friends of the Earth are running a litter pick on Sunday evening around Verulamium Park. They're meeting at 6 o'clock at the car park next to the museum, next to Verulamium Museum down in the park. And they say bring gloves with you. They'll have sacks and things for picking up litter, and they'll just be spending an hour just giving the park a bit of a clean. And then Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust are inviting you to join them for 30 Days Wild again. Now, they ask, can you do something wild every day throughout June? Oh, I'm sure you can do it. It only takes a couple of seconds. That's 30 simple, fun and exciting random acts of wildness. And what they do is they'll send you a pack of free goodies to help you on your way. There's different packs for people at home, for schools and for workplaces. So do go onto their website, take a look there. Now, I had a lot of fun taking part last year in 30 Days Wild. Just little tiny things that just open your eyes to the natural world around you. Doesn't take a long time, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun for kids as well, so do get involved in that. Okay then, so follow us on Twitter at RV_environment. Check us out on Facebook or drop me a line at amanda@radioverulam.com. I'll be back at the same time next week when we'll hear about a big-hearted new project from Earthworks. And until then, thank you for listening.